Hey, this is Sean Chiplock, the voice of Revali, Teba, and the Great Deku Tree in The Legend of Zelda, Subaru Natsuki in ReZero, and Guido Mista in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds Podcast.
You're listening to episode 100 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, week of November 1st, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important game and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill. Episode 100, baby.
Episode 100 on November 1st.
Ooh.
Start of the new month.
Did you play anything good? New season Apex, right?
Tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow. What's coming with this new season? New character?
Map, new character.
Who's the new character?
Ash.
What are they?
From what I can tell, she seems like a similar Wraith, but like mixed with a revenant assassin type sword.
So what type of class is she?
I'm assuming assault.
All right.
I think. I'm assuming. She everyone keeps saying that she's going to be the Wraith killer, so like take over her spot.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I'm assuming she's going to be an assault.
So people think she's going to be OP.
I don't know if in the trailer she always has that sword on her. I don't know if she just has that sword.
Well, isn't that like what is that called?
The heirlooms?
Yeah.
That's what I don't know, if it's going to be an heirloom or if it's going to be like her actual sword, because she just has it all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't have their heirlooms in the trailers.
What if the sword is one of the new weapons? Do they have any melee weapons in?
Oh, they got some new guns coming in too. That's going to be nuts. There's one that looks like it's going to be crazy.
Is the bow still in the game?
Yeah.
Is that thing any good?
It's good when you're playing against it.
Yep. Yeah.
Like when someone's shooting you with it, it can get quite annoying once you start hearing those freaking...
Well, in Fortnite, they added a bow, but the bow works differently because you can make it a fire bow, shockwave bow, a grenade bow, so it has...
That.
Yeah, all right.
It's just a regular bow. I mean, it does have a top up the... I think it takes shatter caps or whatever, where it has like a wider spread.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes anything else. And it has like Deadeye's tempo.
Does it do a ton of damage at least?
Headshots do like 75, so like two of them will crack you.
Right, but that's still pretty slow for a weapon, no? By that point, getting gunned down?
If you hit three, I don't know, it depends. Like, if you're far away, like, it's... You can shoot long range with this thing. Like, it hits.
Okay.
Like, it does...
Snipers are the worst,
quiet,
I think,
like,
in
when
Apex.
You're far away,
yep.
You don't hear the thing. You just hear, like, the phew, phew, phew.
Yeah.
And you're just getting king, ding.
Well, as long as it doesn't put you on that, like, you know, the radar with the red dot when someone's...
But then when you have a Deadeye's tempo... When it, like, lights up, you can shoot, like, rapid fire, like, five of them at a time.
Oh, right, so that will crack
you.
So
that'll do damage.
Yeah.
Like, three hits will almost kill
you. Yeah, because that's 350 right there.
If you hit three headshots, you're pretty much dead.
When have you ever hit one headshot?
I mean, I'm good with the bow sometimes, but, like, other times. Like, if you're just in a big firefight and you just got that on you in the beginning, like, you're going to get fucked. If you can, like, space it out, like, you can get away with it. I mean, some people are
not. Are you ever looking for the bow, though? That's a real question.
I'll definitely pick other things. I'll definitely take it out. I'll start if it's there, I'll pick it up. But if I have an option to get rid of it, I will get rid of it.
Yeah, that's what I think. Oh, big Monday for me.
I've definitely been getting into sniping though.
This came in today. Uh-oh. Can you please hold this? Show me how you would hold this N64 controller. Let me see, cause that's how you hold it.
Why not?
You hold the middle prong, and then the right side.
Why wouldn't I just hold it like this?
Because that's so uncomfortable
when
you're using the... Oh, my God.
What do you
mean?
Why would
how do you hit the Z trigger?
This is so weird.
That's how it's done, though.
I just hit the Z trigger.
Oh, my... You're a monster. So, in all fairness, the idea of the N64 controller, from my understanding... Oh, N64 has the worst design control ever.
I never held it like this.
Really?
I really don't think I ever held it like this.
So... The idea behind the N64 controller, let me see it.
I mean, it makes sense, but I just don't think I've ever done it.
If you're playing a 3D game, you hold it like this,
yeah,
and you get free range. If you're playing a 2D game, you hold it like this, you get the D-pad, which sounds cool until you're handed this goddamn trident of a controller, which is ugly as shit.
I think it looks pristine.
Pristine? I hate the fact, too, that they're selling the N64 controller and they give you the gray one. Do you remember, like, the Atomic Purple? It was like, like, why not? Dude, that one's way more classic looking than this.
Yep.
And then we said it would never happen. Switch OLED
got
made it back safe.
Back. Yep.
God, I love
looks
it.
Clean.
Oh, I love it.
I did a little test run.
You were trash.
Felt it.
Yeah, you were trash.
Screen looked good.
Love the screen. Bigger screen.
Bigger screen. Definitely crispier.
Way crisper. I didn't realize, like, how glossy of a finish the other screen was. If you know what I mean, like, when you play on an original Switch or a Switch Lite now, it has like a glossy, almost childish screen. compared to that one's like kinda. HD.
That one definitely seems like it's like HD.
The only thing is, like, if you play docked all the time or you don't play Switch that much, it's not worth it. Yeah, the Switch definitely. OLED.
If you're into 100%. Handheld, absolutely.
Yes, that's where you get all your improvements, though. And then...
It's a good selling strategy.
Chris Pratt, did you see that? Casted as Garfield in the next animated film?
I did not see that.
Oh.
I definitely called that Shenmue, though.
Oh, the anime?
Yep.
What, that it was going to be Toonami, or...
That, when we were talking about video games that could be an anime, and I said yeah. Shenmue, absolutely.
Well, because that was it was already announced. I was asking you.
They watched our podcast and took my idea.
No, 100%.
It wasn't announced yet. It was for the movie or whatever.
I do want to... We just start suing everyone? Like, win or lose, we could just say we sued them.
I copyrighted that idea.
And an IP you don't own.
It's exactly. Like, they definitely stole that from me.
What you go for as Halloween?
I was Batman.
Fat man. Good job.
Vengeance.
Vengeance. Tell me you would yell, "Where's Rachel?" all the time.
Where's Rachel? No, I wasn't the Dark Knight. I was just Batman.
Oh, you were Batflack?
I could be anyone.
Which Batman is it supposed to be from?
I don't even know what suit it was. Aww. It was just all black with a yellow belt. It was like a dark black. Like
I honestly thought you were the Michael Keaton Batman.
I don't know if it was really supposed to be one. It was just, a rant, yeah. Yeah, like just a Batman suit.
Most likely the Fortnite Batman.
I mean, it looked jacked as hell, so.
Don't give yourself credit.
I mean, in that suit, I'm giving myself credit. All
right, we'll take a short little break and be back with the news. Yeah, a little bit of credit. All right, we're back with the news. Quick news story of the week. Skydance New Media announces they're working on a AAA action-adventure game set in the Marvel Universe. This only made news because it's headed by Amy Hennig. Amy Hennig, to me, this is going to be controversial, one of the most overrated people in the gaming industry. Like, she's super important and does a lot of good work, but I swear to God, people think like... So here's the stuff that she's worked on that came out in the past 10 years. 2011, Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. Good game. Really good game. Uncharted Golden Abyss. Battlefield Heartline. And that's it. That's it.
That's nothing crazy.
She was working on a Star Wars open world game called like Star Wars 1313. Mm-hmm. And it got canceled. Nice. So that goes to show you how great that was.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right.
That would have been
cool. And everyone knew what the...
I don't know why we don't have a Star Wars open world.
And yet. Supposedly it was like somewhat like The Mandalorian where you're not a Jedi. You're... like a bounty hunter set in that universe and it's open world. So again, like, great idea and it didn't come to fruition, but...
I'm thinking I agree with your controversial statement.
Well, again, she is super important and does... I'm not trying to say she's bad. I'm just saying she's overrated.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
Right, why do I hate women, right? That's... Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is coming to VR and Quest 2. The Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake has been confirmed by Ubisoft to still be in development. That was supposed to come out like January 2021. They showed a commercial of it. People hated it. They were like, how is this a remake? And I think they started from scratch on it. Still in development. Like, that's always a good sign when you have to just kind of remind people, hey, we're working on this. And then Digimon Survive Tactical RPG set in the Digimon universe will be delayed until 2022. Yo, the Digimon IP has been treated like such shit. I swear to God. Like, those games should be fire. For what Digimon is,
I was never really into Digi.
But like, they were at one point an actual competition to Pokemon.
Only because of people like you.
We were the Digi destined go getters, all right?
I mean, I can't say that though, because the Digimon won the death battle on YouTube. So
yep, yeah,
he kicked the crap out of Charizard. So.
Dude, Digimon, like, I can't believe they don't have a Fire Phone app because it's all about the Digiverse, like, on the...
Yeah, I mean, they got Pokemon Go, they got Duel Links for Yu-Gi-Oh! You'd think they'd have a Digi game.
I went on the app store to look up, like, a Digimon game to see if... There is, like, one Digimon game, but it has to do with fitness, and you have to buy a bracelet.
Let's act like any of these games were better than Beyblades. Remember that show?
Yes, Let It Rip.
Crazy, bro.
What, you know what the annoying thing is? You watch the show and they use the Beyblades, right? And the show shows the monsters on the Beyblade fighting.
Yeah.
And then you go to your friend's house and you just pull it and it's a fucking top.
I was that nasty, just... though.
Were you? Because all it is a top that spins.
You had to have the cool tops, though. Some were special. Special powers. Special abilities.
I had one. I'll never forget it. It was like disgusting. A turtle. And you know how each Beyblade had a different bottom to it? Like, it had a metal bottom.
That's right. I mean, different abilities.
Yeah. Mine was square. It didn't have a point. So when it would stop spinning, it would freeze there.
Yeah.
So it technically wasn't out. So if you never touched it, it would automatically win because the other top would just finally tip when it would. It was a cheat.
That was a real game.
Was it? Do you remember? Were you there when we went to the Toys R Us tournament for that?
Maybe.
They were like, "Oh, come here! You win cool prizes." We went. They give you
that
like
sounds
stickers.
Like a very creepy statement. Oh, yeah. Hey, come here! We got some cool prizes.
They had like people from I think it was Bandai Namco. I don't remember
who
it was.
Oh, yeah. They were at GameStop.
Come over here. We'll touch you quick. And yeah, no, it was Toys R Us. It wasn't GameStop.
Oh my bad. You think Bandai Namco is in Toys R Us?
Yeah, and they were like pushing their merchandise hard though. You'd go in, they'd be like, "Oh, buy this shirt."
We don't live in like a nice city like that. Are you serious?
Did you ever go to Toys R Us to get like exclusive Pokemon?
No.
You used to have to bring your cartridge in, right? They had this machine. It was like the craziest thing.
I couldn't even get a ride at McDonald's.
Yeah, you lived in the poor boondocks of Pawtucket. That's what just a street over from me.
Couple
but
streets
still.
Over. Different lifestyle. I didn't go to no Poke events, man.
Also, it was literally like a box too. You put your game in and it would like light up and be like, "Oh, you got it." And then you take it out, you put your game in, you'd have like Mew.
Oh, great. I had to get him the hard way.
You did. There was no other way to get Mew.
I guess I never got him then. It wasn't privileged.
First big news story of the week, and this is going to show you how bad it is. I have to remind everyone there was a Sony State of Play this week. It was horrible. This might be the worst Sony State of Play. This had Nintendo Direct vibes. That's how bad it was. So here's everything featured during the October 2021 State of Play. This is by Ben David Grindel on GameRant.com. Remember, we made predictions about this. I told you I would eat my Switch if they showed Final Fantasy 16 here.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they're going to show at least one good AAA game. Thank God, because they didn't show shit here. They started off the event with Death First, Let It Die. I don't even honestly know what it is. It's fueled by a reality TV-inspired aesthetic and dark humor that was founded within the original game. Death First, Let It Die is a unique melee-based take on the ever-popular multiplayer survival action genre. Set to launch next spring on PS4 and PS5, this unexpected sequel will mirror its forebearer footsteps by also being free to play. It honestly looks like a video game that if you're watching a movie and they're playing a fake video game in the background, this is the game they're playing. So that, you know, that this is going to live for about a week. Maybe. Tops, you know? It's like, what was the All-Star Racing? Or no, All-Star Destruction? What was that?
All-Star Brawl Destruction or whatever?
You remember the PlayStation 5 driver that was free to play?
Was it a driver?
All-Star Destruction, I think.
Was that a driver game?
Not. You're thinking of the PlayStation Brawl that was like the Smash Bros. Clone?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the... It was like Twisted Metal almost.
Yeah, that's what I meant when you said driver, yeah.
Yeah, you're in cars the whole time. And they made it free to play.
Was it like Brawler All-Stars or something like
I think
that?
It was
like,
Brawler All-Stars or something. Destruction All-Stars?
Yeah, Destruction All-Stars.
Yeah, again.
I didn't know that was even a driving
game. That came out this year, and we're sitting here trying to remember the name.
I didn't know it was a driving game.
We got We Are OFK announced back at this year's E3 for PC. It was confirmed during the latest State of Play that We Are OFK will be heading to PS4, PS5 via a fourth wall breaking trailer centering around the real life indie pop band OFK. The music biop game promises to be an interactive episodic adventure that explores the group's challenging quest to bring their debut EP to life. What part of that sounded fun to you?
Absolutely nothing.
We got Bugsnax, the Isle of Big Snack. So I think this is probably the biggest announcement that Bugsnax game, which is considered like a Pokemon Snap, Pokemon-like action-adventure game, is getting DLC. Arriving early next year as a free update, players will be able to explore the mysterious Isle of Big Snack, which is seemingly home to a smorgasbord of new super-sized critters. What's more, a number of other additional additions have been promised for good measure, too, like Animal Crossing-esque ability to now decorate the player's Snackburg home. I don't get this game, but I've had, when I was shitting on it on one episode, people come up to me and say this is a really good game. I think it's one of those games that look dumb, but when you play it, you just get hooked.
I don't think so.
Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. Considering Halloween is only a few days away at this point, it wasn't all that surprising to see Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach featured during Sony's latest State of Play, having already served up a number of jump scares with some of the publisher's other recent presentations. This latest showing offered the best look at the game's spine-tingling gameplay in action, which Brave fans can dive into themselves when it arrives on PS4, PS5, and December 16th. I think they should have hit before Halloween.
I always thought this game was a VR.
It is. It was technically a mobile game first.
I think the guy at Worker City played it on
Oculus. It's a big VR game, yes.
And he said it was dope.
Now, this one's a little bit different where you actually control the player.
Yeah.
And the other ones, you actually kind of like watch through like the security.
He said it's a good game.
Though. It's a very game. That's what it is. It's you're basically at a Chuck E. Cheese when it closes and all the animatronics come to life.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
This is the funniest thing. So Death's Door, earlier this year, Acid Nerve's Death's Door captured the hearts of players when it launched on PC and Xbox, and has since been one of the contenders for 2021's Game of the Year. Following the success, the acclaimed action-adventure indie RPG was confirmed during the latest State of Play to be making its way to PS4 and PS5 on November 23rd. So this is a Game of the Year contender game. It's almost like a, from what I understand, it's a very difficult, kind of like Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah.
The top-down view. And the biggest news is the fact that it's also coming to Nintendo Switch. Like, no one's even bringing up the fact that it's coming to PlayStation.
Is it turn-based, or you just, like, attack?
No,
like,
you attack.
Like, so 80s type?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it looks pretty cool based off this picture.
The art style looks incredible.
I like that sword.
It honestly, it's like...
Dope sword.
Oh, yeah. And when he swings it, too, it's Hades-like, where everything's exploding.
I didn't even know it was on PC. I might have to check it out.
It's one of the games that I think it's because it's a weaker year.
You gotta pay, though.
Yeah, it is. It's, like, $20.
That's steep.
That's so. I was gonna go play
Hades,
it
though. So
yeah, and okay, you did almost beat that one.
I definitely beat that one. Stop it.
So this is the thing where Game Pass hurts you, because I went to go play it on my Xbox. It's not a Game Pass game.
That sucks.
Right. So I'm almost like spoiled.
Yeah, you are.
100%.
Now you gotta buy it.
Exactly. Where it's like, oh, I have to pay for a game.
Spend the $20.
Kart Rider Drift. This looked like a mobile game.
Yeah, this is the knockoff.
Mario Kart. And it's coming to PlayStation 4 next year. It's not like a PlayStation 5 game.
I'm digging this guy's helmet with the robot eyes, but...
Oh, the football helmet with the robot
that's
eyes?
That's pretty savage.
Let's see. King of Fighters 15. This game looks incredible still.
Yeah.
Set to launch on February 17, 2022. SNK's The King of Fighters 15 also made a punchy appearance at Sony's latest presentation. During the event, the publisher showed off the upcoming entry in the popular fighting game franchise with an in-depth look at the newest combatant, Dolores. To sweeten the deal, it was also confirmed that PS4 and PS5 players will be able to throw down as the newcomer alongside 7 other fighters when the game arrives in beta form on November 19th. So in 2 weeks, you can play this game.
Not me.
In beta. Right, because you can't buy a PlayStation 5.
I don't have a PS freaking 5.
But I hate when they do the console exclusive betas, but this game still looks good. Yeah.
Loser.
I'm just going to go fuck
now
myself.
Now we both can't play it.
Mm-hmm. We can be losers together.
Saves you from defeat.
Yeah. Oh. Again, I've said it before. I'll say it. I want to be so good at fighting games. I just
you
don't
want to
put
be.
In the time. I just don't
you
want
to
put in
to
the
be,
time.
But it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, because I don't put in the time.
You've never been a guy to put in the time.
I watched you play Smash Bros. Before we recorded this episode, and my God, was it embarrassing.
I mean, I almost won. You saw the health recovery. If that health recovery didn't work.
I've never seen someone brag so hard about almost winning.
If you didn't see that health, if that health recovery didn't go off, I mean, it was going to happen.
First Class Trouble. I don't even remember this one. I'm just going to skip it. That's how
it
bad.
It looks like rich people like on a boat that and they killed someone by accident. So it looks like a Clue type game.
It might be, honestly.
I don't even know.
And then Star Ocean, The Divine Force. While the appearance of Square Enix's logo during October State of Play prompted few onlookers to believe they were about to see Final Fantasy 16, that's what happened. It flashed Square
they
Enix.
You.
I 100%.
You
I was like, motherfucker. And then it showed off a different game, and I was like, I have no idea what this is.
I mean, the little... Graphics.
I thought this was the best looking game
It looks cool on this little graphic.
So I thought this was the best looking game there, and then everyone was kind of saying that
definitely this
looks
like a Square Enix game.
100%.
They made this guy ripped though.
Oh,
they
Square
never
Enix.
Make people that ripped. Cloud's got like a muscular build. Squall's kind of like thin.
Yeah,
they don't make guys like huge.
I don't even so Star.
Zidane's mad thin.
Star Ocean is an old RPG. Have you ever played one? I feel like that's something
I've
you and TA would play.
I've never heard of it. It looks dope though.
The actually follow was still very much welcome. That's because it's now been confirmed that next year, the latest entry in the long-running Star Ocean JRPG series, subtitled The Divine Force, will land on PS4 and PS5. A simultaneous Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC release was also later confirmed after the show. So it's not even a console exclusive.
That's, I mean, that means I can get it on my PC.
And then this was the big game showed on it was Little Devil Inside, which I actually think was a bad showing.
Really?
They show you walk around a lot, and it's like a pop-up book kind of looking environment.
Yeah.
And the gameplay at that point is like, what the hell am I doing? Where they made this game that when they first showed it looked like a Monster Fighter,
yeah,
looked like a weird kind of like walking sim. So now I'm confused of what the only thing going for
he's got a sword.
Right, and they do show him fighting monsters, but only briefly. This was also shown during like the PS5 release video, so it's been over a year since we've known about it and seen it. During the week, Sony preemptively confirmed that the intriguing Little Devil Inside would feature within October's PlayStation State of Play presentation, having debuted alongside the PS5 itself last year. The publisher showed a significant amount of trust in NeoStream Interactive to select the adventure game as the event's closing act. While no hint of a concrete release date was provided, that's the other weird thing. They still didn't give a release date. They just showed it off more.
And then showed you just the walking.
They showed a lot simulation. Of walking. Yeah. And what was shown still lived up to the unique and quirky vibes that its debut trailer embodied, featuring a Bastion-style deadpan narrator on top of a surprising PS1-era JRPG. See? PS1-era.
I mean, it definitely looks it.
Little Devil Inside looks unlike anything else players can currently get their hands on within the PlayStation ecosystem. I don't know about that. I feel like there's a lot of games that are very similar to this.
The style, though, it almost looks like Final Fantasy VII, just like
better, like the original PlayStation,
like crispier.
Yeah, yeah, like you're saying, smoother textures
like,
of the original FS7,
like one of those little box dudes.
Yeah, like when Cloud's running on the overworld.
Yeah, so that's why it's definitely different,
right?
And if it really is like more of a monster killer game, then that would be better than just like
you swing, like you actually like it's an action adventure. It looks, again, they only showed it briefly.
That's what I mean. It's hard to judge right now. And I won't talk to each other about it yet.
Yeah.
He looked cool from the style.
That's the thing. I think it's one of those games where the art style carries like 90%
of the
people.
But if it's just like a stupid game with no purpose and you're not really killing, like if killing monsters is like a one-time thing,
mm-hmm,
then I'm not really going to be into it.
That's the problem is I've seen it like 3 times. I still couldn't tell you what the hell it is. You know, like
there's no release date.
And there's no release date. And it was originally shown off with the PS5 reveal. Which was...
So that was last year?
That was way before last...
No, it came out in November.
2020, yeah.
November 2020.
It's...
Yeah, that's... It's hard to judge, but that didn't... That was seemed like a weak state of play.
The problem is...
A couple games seem okay.
Most of them are good. This one was just like... I think this is the first time a Sony state of play was like, wow, that was horrible. You know, because usually they are really good. Or have at least that one tempo game where you're like... Holy shit, be hyped
for
that.
No Final Fantasy VII remake news.
No Final Fantasy VII remake news.
Crap.
No Final Fantasy 16. I'm surprised we didn't see at least Forspoken.
Forspoken, too, yeah.
Anything, because again, they did say, like, these are going to be AAA games shown here. So you knew you weren't going to see, like, Miles Morales or
we should have said that
Wolverine.
From the start.
We knew that.
You didn't say that.
Oh, come on. I will play the tape back. No Final Fantasy 16.
You said that there would be.
No shot.
Because I said it was going to be Final Fantasy VII.
I didn't. Yeah, I did
not
think.
And then you said it's going to be Final Fantasy 16.
I said
anything.
I said I would eat my Switch if they showed Final
if
Fantasy 16.
They didn't show it.
Next news story. Sony has rebranded its PC publishing label to PlayStation PC. Spotted by users on gaming forum Reset Error, it seems that Sony has begun rebranding its PC ports of first-party PlayStation games under a new label on Steam. The previous PlayStation Mobile label that was accompanying the company's games on the Steam have been replaced with PlayStation PC LLC, suggesting that Sony has rolled out a new branding to drive home its focus on porting some of its most popular first-party titles to PC platforms. You can see it here on the Steam page for Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition. Reset Error users also pointed out that the company registered the name roughly 6 months ago on April 13th, 2021. The next PlayStation Studios title to come to PC will be 2018's excellent God of War in January next year, bringing a heap of graphical enhancements with it. The Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection will also be heading to PC sometime in 2022. They also saw Sackboy's Great Adventure was listed on the Steam library or during that leak. Remember that Geo Now leak or whatever?
Yeah.
So all that's just coming true. Shuhei Yoshida, who is like one of the PlayStation's top like workers, also tweeted out a photo of him playing PlayStation games on a Steam Deck. You know that like portable PC that's supposed to come out?
Yep, I remember that.
So I think that just goes to show, one, they're not going to make any PlayStation portable devices in a long time.
When's the KFC machine going to come out?
Right? When is that coming out?
I mean, that's probably going to be way better than the Steam Deck.
I reached out to KFC to get us one.
Did they hit back?
No.
They'll tweet back.
They'll get back to us. I honestly, like, obviously I thought they were kidding when they tweeted it, but I also, a little piece of me thought they would do
something. They really
made
it seem legit.
Yeah.
Like, you could look up the specs and everything. It had real specs. Like,
I think it's a meme account, though.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's either they're just really good at memeing or...
I don't know. I'm hoping it hits.
I'm a bit confused about what's going to happen with that, too.
Because it looked good. I mean, air fryer that can play games.
And chicken, yeah.
And store chicken.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, that seems like a money move.
I mean, we said last week when we talked about God of War coming to PC, they should just bring all... PlayStation should just bring all of their older titles to PC.
We've said that.
And I think this goes to prove that that's where they're heading.
And it proves that they've been listening to the podcast and are now deciding to make smart moves.
Yeah. You should send them a bill.
I should just send them an application.
There you go.
Do marketing.
Yeah. I like it.
Promotion.
There you go.
Merchandise. Make some merch.
That's a big application.
Let's do some merch.
And then more PlayStation news. Returnal finally adds a suspend feature to let you pause the game mid-run. This is by Cham Gardenberg on TheVerge.com. Returnal's 2.0 update is out today, bringing two of the most requested features for House Marquee's punishingly difficult sci-fi roguelike, the option to suspend the game in the middle of a run without losing progress, and a photo mode for capturing all of Atropos' most stunning visuals. Returnal is the game I think will win Game of the Year.
You think so?
I think it's the best-looking game I've seen. I think it's between this and... God, why can't I think of it? What's the other one that just came out where you play as Cole, and every time you die, you restart the day?
Deathloop.
I think it's between Returnal and Deathloop. I think the problem with Ratchet and Clank is people already forgot about it and they're not going to do anything.
I haven't heard anyone talk about it.
That's what, yeah. And again,
I don't know. I really haven't heard anyone talk about Deathloop.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, no one's talking about any game.
I don't see any streamers on it.
What, Deathloop?
Deathloop.
The problem is...
I seen it like the first day.
Yep.
And then I never seen it again.
Seen it again, yeah. There's no game that's come out this year, I think, that anyone's really talked about past 2 weeks after its launch.
I feel like you can't drop a game, like, especially in these months when Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty comes out.
Yep.
Like, that's all people talk about.
But no
Christmas.
One's talking about Call of Duty right now.
Well,
either.
No one's talking about Vanguard, but.
Right?
It hasn't. I don't know if it's come out yet officially.
It hasn't.
So, I mean, once it comes out, you know people will hop back on.
Oh, 100%.
And then they'll trash it. But it'll still run the game section till January until something new comes
100%.
Out next year.
100%.
COD always ends the year off. Like, popular for
this
some
might
reason.
Be one of those years where Call of Duty does win Game of the Year.
And now they just launched that rumor about Modern Warfare
2. Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think it's going to be what we want.
No, it's
I think
not.
It's just going to be a continuation of this Modern Warfare.
It's because it's what we want. That's why they're not going to give it to us.
Yeah, no, but I don't know why they wouldn't give that. Everyone's been waiting for the original.
Because you don't work there and give them the good ideas.
Everyone's been waiting for this original MW2 remaster.
Yeah.
Keep the same guns. All you got to do is just make it look a little crispier.
Yeah.
Like, if you could literally give us the exact same game, same gameplay, same damage. The game was just the GOAT. Just give it a little better graphics.
You're not going to get it.
Just give it to us. Maybe add a map or two.
Just give it to us.
Come on, dude. I would play that. I'd hop right back to that.
Let me see. The lack of suspend mode has been one of the biggest knocks against the otherwise well-received title. An average run in Returnal can easily take upwards of 45 minutes and had to be completed in a single gameplay session. So I read that it actually takes around 90 minutes to beat it.
I mean.
But imagine you're playing Hades, right? And it takes an hour and a half. Well, and not
I beat
because
it
you're
in 22
bad.
Minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But
I beat it faster
is,
than you. Remember that?
And then I went and crushed your time.
All right, but I already had beat it first, and you already
I
had
was
the
never going for
you
speed.
Had the upgraded shit when you went in back and crushed it.
I was never going for speed. You don't. Read
I mean, that
the
just
lore.
Proves to you that I was better than you.
You probably skipped all of the dialogue, went right through.
I was already on my 29th try. That's why it. Would I keep reading the dialogue?
Because it changes every time.
I don't care.
But then it's the story.
I would listen for a little bit. I had to just beat the game at that point. It was pissing me off. It was probably like 24 tries.
But imagine Hades takes about an hour and a half, like, average. Not because you're bad at it, but, like, that's just the length of it.
Yeah.
If you couldn't ever stop and save or suspend the game, that's kind of a big miss.
Can you stop and save in Hades, though?
You can hit the pause button and...
But I don't think it lets you save.
I mean, on a Switch, you can kind of save whenever you want.
But not on, like, a PC.
But it also, like, when you cleared Hades, how long did it take you?
I mean, if I wanted to stop playing, though, I would just pause it.
Yep.
And then just go do it. But if I had to shut it off,
yep,
it would just probably bring me back to my last save.
So the problem with the PlayStation 5 is you hit pause, and you pause the game.
Yeah.
And then your PS5 would need a system update and update the system and restart. And
but I got a laptop, so that won't happen to me.
Right, you're just going to have to re-download your shaders.
No, that hasn't happened anymore. I did an update. I don't have to do that anymore. I just get right into Apex.
Yeah. But, again, Hades takes 20 minutes where that's never... We could go in and be like, all right, I got one Hades run in me.
Yeah.
There's no way you can hop into Returnal and be like, I got a Returnal run in me. That's way too much time.
You yeah. You just can't save it.
Which is kind of a big miss.
Is it?
That's where
if you only
I,
got
yeah.
20 minutes and you're just like, fuck it. Like, if I don't make it, I don't make it. Like,
right.
But why do you care if it saves where you are?
If you're someone
it
like
won't be
you,
a speed run anymore.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a speed run. That's where it kind of gets into the discussion, well, this is the type of game a roguelike is, so if you can't do it in that allotted time, you're never going to beat it, right?
Yeah.
Where then it comes into the play where if you don't have an hour and a half and you don't get that kind of set time a day,
I don't see the point of like making a game specifically for a speed run.
I mean, Hades is kind of that way, and it hit big, no?
Yeah, I mean, but you don't have to speedrun it.
Right.
If you could just, if you know you don't have enough time, if you, like, run out of time to play, you just restart.
Yeah.
You just start back from what you tried.
Put it this way. Metroid Dread, right, just released, took me 8 hours to beat. Once you beat it, you unlock hard mode and all these other things. I'm seeing people post, like, hey, I beat the game an hour and a half. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's
and they're like, this is the ninth time I beat it. But again, it's made... So
it should be easier after you beat it one time.
And that's why. So, but now it's kind of challenging yourself to see how fast you can beat it, which gets you to keep playing it and keep talking about it.
But, like, that's what I mean, though. I wouldn't design the game, though, to be specifically for a speed run. That's almost how this seems like it is.
I think so,
If you can't save at any point in the game.
Right, yeah.
Which is stupid.
So,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I wouldn't design a game like that.
Well, it's in it. You wouldn't design a game like that because no one would want that, right?
That's what I mean.
Or if they do want it, they're like a hardcore pro gamer, and that's your
if
only
if they
market.
Do want it, yeah, you give them the option.
Yes.
You start off with a normal game that can save, and if they want to speedrun it, they just have to play it straight and just speedrun it.
Right, because even if there are no barriers, gamers kind of create their own. Like, have you ever heard of a Nuzlocke challenge in Pokemon? That is the idea that when you play Pokemon, if your character ever dies, they die for good. So when they die, you release them. And streamers do it. They call it the Nuzlocke Challenge.
It's pretty interesting.
Right. So it's in the idea that, like, hey, you're going through the tunnel. And you
but
know
you make
how,
your own choice.
Right.
And you can save any time.
Right.
So that's why it works.
Say your starter Pokemon, you go to a gym battle, right?
Yeah.
And they finally get beaten. You're supposed to now release that Pokemon.
And then he goes forever.
He goes for. And then if your team dies, right, you have to go out, catch new Pokemon, train them again to be able. So it makes it
does
way more
definitely make it a challenge.
Right. So there are things that even if the game doesn't let you do it, you can make those challenges or just give people the option.
Yeah.
You know? Make it accessible to everyone so it can sell.
That's what
but
I mean.
Allow the option to make it difficult.
I'm
for
sure
those
this
who want
update
it.
Was big for
a ton of people.
Yeah.
But Returnal came out the early this year. I can't
yeah,
believe 20, it.
Yeah, 2021, right? Like January or something? I feel like it was in the beginning, like Q1.
It was. It was like the big game that came out for the PlayStation. That's why I can't believe it took this long to come out with April 30th. So that's...
April, all right, yeah. It's like almost quarter two.
Yeah.
Or it is quarter two.
I think it's the start of quarter two.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's...
How long did it take? I mean, what, 7 months for this update? Technically, people have been playing for 7 months and couldn't save at any point if they wanted.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, again, so the new suspend cycle, right? This is what it's called. This is what it actually does. The new suspend cycle mode aims to fix that. It's not a traditional save mode. It won't be able to save scum your way out of a poorly made decision or bad. So, like, you can't hit start, save the game, die, and load from your last save. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
It allows you to save your position, turn off your PlayStation, and come back and play from that spot. But once it's loaded, that save is deleted as well.
So you're back to your speedrun, technically.
Yes, but that's like an option that should have been there, you know?
Yeah, it's something.
Especially for a roguelike that takes that long to complete.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's something.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like the greatest. I mean, it's helpful.
Right.
It's not the save as a save, though. Just
right.
Save it, reload it.
It's like
it.
A save point. Not. It's not even like a checkpoint.
But, like, I mean, if their hopes is that you do it speed runs, mm-hmm. you'd almost want them to do the save point. Because if they save it, knowing they're going to, like, die if they made a bad decision, they're just going to restart anyway.
You can't. So that's what it doesn't let you do. It only lets you save if you're...
That's what I mean, though. If you accidentally save in a bad position and you know you can't get forward and you're trying to speed run, you're obviously going to just delete your season or restart.
Right.
So it's almost like a... That's what they want you to do.
Yes.
So they honestly should just add a save point because then there'd be a bunch of TAs in the world that can't get past where they are and just delete the season.
Well, every time you load it, it already deletes it. So after you load it, it's already deleted. So if you die...
So it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
But...
It's one of those things that, like, it should have been there from the beginning. I'm glad it's there. I'm hoping this makes people go back and play it again, and then it brings it back into the Game of the Year talks. It's really one of those weird years where what the hell is going to win
Apex.
Game of the Year? No shot.
Shut your mouth.
It's going to win. Apex could win, like, what do they call it? The continuing Game of the Year? Longest.
Definitely long, Game of the Year.
Continually running Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
Best Shooter of the Year. Best RPG.
RPG.
Best at any category you can think of. Sports.
Tactical RPG.
Tactical RPG. Anything. JRPG. Whatever.
What are those, like, not graphic novels? What is it? The
mangas?
No. The games that are basically you just make the decisions.
Oh.
It's like a book.
Yeah, I can't remember what those are called.
Yeah. Next news story. Warner Bros. Multiverse design docs have leaked, including characters and stages. This is by Jordan Midler on VideoGameChronicle.com.
Oh, yeah.
Design documents that include character stages and even mechanics for the unannounced platform fighting game Warner Bros. Multiverse have leaked. First off, Multiverses is a dope name.
That is dope as shit.
That is a dope name. This game is probably going to suck ass.
No,
but that
don't
name
say
is
that.
Dope.
Don't say that. I think it has potential.
We said that about the what was the one that the Nickelodeon Smash?
I thought it looked dope too.
Yeah, you know what? Someone posted a picture of it online. The how many people are streaming it? 43 people. 43 people were streaming that. 80,000 on Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Just because 40 people were streaming it doesn't mean that there wasn't 40 million playing it. All right,
true.
Buddy. Not everyone's a streamer.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, I got high hopes for this. It's got Shaggy, Batman. LeBron?
LeBron is supposed to be the first DLC.
What kind
character.
Of freaking... How do you have a cast like that and not make it good? You got Ultra Instinct Shaggy in there?
That's what they literally said. It's supposed to be based on Ultra Instinct Shaggy.
That's what I'm not surprised.
So the latest document, which first appeared on Reset Era, reveals the game will use a Smash Bros. Style knockback percentage system, with the example given showing Jake the Dog from Adventure Time. The next page shows off a 2v2 gameplay featuring Wonder Woman, Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, an alternate color for Jake the Dog, suggesting alternate costumes. The fourth character, which has not been identified, is rumored to be an original character exclusively for the game. According to the leak, the various playtests, which are said to be where a large amount of information is being taken from, have featured different character rosters. So even that roster I sent you, I guess everyone who's playtesting has a different roster.
Yeah.
So that's not the final roster. That's just like one of the...
Arya from Game of Thrones.
Right. Cause, and again, WB owns so many...
Yeah, that's crazy. They have a lot of freaking people to choose from. They could do DLCs forever.
Yes. And I, from what I've seen, it's supposed to be free to play.
Yeah, which is big.
And then you're going to have to buy the characters.
Cosmetics.
Yes.
Load it. Costumes, skins,
well,
characters.
It's
going to
be the first Smash Bros. Game, right, that uses a battle tier, I bet.
What do you mean a battle tier?
You every
like a
season.
Battle pass?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they do online battles. Like,
yep.
They could do how any of these other games do it.
Free to play, battle pass, and you get three characters each battle pass, and then you go through the battle pass to unlock their other costumes.
Or you can buy them each for $5.99.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nope. I mean, if it plays well... And it plays similar to Smash, I think it's got potential.
It's also worth noting that the images in these leaked documents match earlier Twitter posts, which showed a roster that included Superman, Batman, Harley Quinn, Rich Sanchez, and Steven Universe. Speaking to a Giant Bomb video on Wednesday, journalist Jeff Grubb claimed to have heard that the Multiverses could be a free-to-play title with future characters sold as DLC, including LeBron James. That's like the weirdest
part.
That
is so funny, dude. Batman versus LeBron
James.
Imagine
right?
it.
Warner has previously mixed its IPs on several occasions. Video game Lego Dimensions combined numerous characters from the franchises, including the Lego Movie, Batman, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. Scooby-Doo, Gremlins, The Goonies, and Beetlejuice. The film Space Jam, A New Legacy. Yeah, so it... They, of course, the movie worlds from numerous other Warner properties are visited include Austin Powers, The Matrix, Casablanca, Mad Max, and the DC Universe.
Oh, so you put Neo in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the amount of Warner Brothers that's IP crazy. That they can put in there.
Imagine that.
It's going to, like you said, Neo versus Mad Max.
Neo versus LeBron.
LeBron. What would LeBron's moveset be? You'd have to have a basketball, right? That's,
me and Spenny were talking about that. Like, I feel like you'd have to throw like a basketball at him or something.
He's always dribbling the ball when he moves.
Don't have like mad range attacks.
Yeah, he's gonna dunk on people for like his.
Smash. I just don't even know. Like, what's his up?
Probably a dunk.
His up B.
It's a dunk.
He goes up for like a tomahawk and like punches you in the face. Probably. Like, what does he do?
He probably slams it down, and whoever he slams down
well,
with
what's
it.
What's his, like, well, when he's, like, falling off a cliff, though, like, the air, the edge, though, like, what does he do to get back up?
The weird thing to me is, like...
Ultra Instinct Shaggy?
What is his moves going to be?
Ultra Instinct. It's whatever your mind thinks.
His side B or his side special is going to be, like, the mystery van. He just runs you over.
He'll probably throw, like, a freaking Scooby snack at you.
Yeah. It's such a weird... Like, certain characters make sense. Like, I heard they had Harry Potter and Ron Weasley.
Oh, Jesus.
Gandalf.
Maybe it's not supposed to make sense, and that's the fun of it. Because I don't know how they pull off this moveset.
No.
But if they do, I give you guys... I'll switch over to that right now.
Beetlejuice. I can see Beetlejuice in it.
Freaking crazy.
There's so many Game of Thrones characters they can put in. So many of the Harry Potter characters.
They'll definitely put like the Nightwalk, the Frost guy in there, the King, the Night King.
Oh, yeah. Jon Snow is going to be huge.
I'm sure they'll put Jon Snow.
Again, it's going to be so heavily loaded with DC characters.
Arya Stark, though. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you got to get some female characters in.
I mean, she did kill the Night King, so.
In a dope way.
Spoilers.
I'm actually surprised because we are finally seeing like Smash Bros. Clones this year.
Oh yeah,
I'm surprised it's taken this long for anyone else to try it.
It's tough to compete with Smash Bros. It's been around for so long.
But it's also like it can't be when you play Smash Bros. Do you play because of the gameplay or because of the characters? I guess that's both, right?
We like the gameplay. It's a different type of fighting game,
right?
I think that's what makes that part different. But the characters really bring you in, don't they?
Yeah.
So
especially like when you pick your character, you already have a connection.
That's why
to
someone like. You know, WB's probably been waiting until they could store up all the characters they've acquired over,
yeah.
You know, the last whatever.
WB owns Mortal Kombat.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's even more
DC,
characters.
Mortal Kombat, they got all these different, and then just shows, like random shows.
Yeah.
Bringing other random characters to life.
It's...
They've been holding on to this to create the army of characters so that they could just dominate Smash Bros. On one shot.
I still think it's going to come out and be a dud.
I hope it's not.
I
don't need your
like,
negative attitude.
I know. Well, because again,
shout out WB.
It's gonna be.
Don't listen to this nonsense.
With a battle tier.
Don't listen to this nonsense. You guys got this.
Next news story: Capcom financial report reveals strong second quarter sales. This is by Kazuma Hashimoto on SiliconEra.com. Capcom released its second quarter financial report, revealing titles like Resident Evil Village and Monster Hunter Stories 2: Wings of Ruin contributed to strong sales and growth. Additionally, Capcom has hit record levels for its second growth quarter. This is in part due to digital sales of titles like Resident Evil Village and Monster Hunter Rise. As mentioned previously, Resident Evil Village contributed to strong sales within Capcom. Additionally, the game officially surpassed 5 million units sold worldwide. Capcom also noted that the strong sales for Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin contributed to the company's current success. Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin sales surpassed 1 million units in July 2021. That's pretty good for it's a Switch exclusive,
yep.
And it's a spin-off of their Monster Hunter series. It's not an actual Monster Hunter game.
Same gameplay, though? Like
no, it's a turn-based game.
That's what I figured. Which is, yeah,
it's better. Like a monster capturer turn-based game. Almost like Pokemon, but it's a little bit...
Is there
bit...
a plot, though, or are you yes. just doing missions?
No, there's
quests?
Like an... There's more story there's in this right. than there is in actual Monster Hunter games.
Well, I guess that makes sense, because what is it called? Stories?
Yeah.
Marvel Monster Hunter
Stories.
So, yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Way to go, idiot. sales for Monster Hunter Rise have also contributed to grow at a steady rate, which Capcom mentions within its financial report. So I have a couple numbers here. The Resident Evil series... In total, has hit 120 million units sold.
About, like, all Resident Evil?
All Resident Evil games.
I feel like that's low, huh?
Really? You think so? 120 million
I feel like it used to be
units.
Really popular back then.
That is popular. Dude, 120.
But it's been out on multiple different systems.
Right, right.
So you think by now it would be a lot higher. So I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Think about 120 million.
But in the world?
Yeah.
Like, that seems low. We just said there's 330 million in the U.S.
Yep. But how many are gamers?
I'm sure 40%. Does that not sound unrealistic?
Maybe if you include mobile, right?
But that's just in the U.S.
Right.
Now, let's expand it to the, around the world. How many people in the world are there? A billion?
Six billion? Six or seven billion,
I think. How much? I mean, out of 6 billion, how many are gamers? We could probably still save 40%.
It's tough.
120 just seems 7. Low.
7.75 billion people.
Even more.
So I,
that just sounds low to me. I don't know why.
120 million
worldwide
is a lot.
Of all time, yeah. Every game, every system, it just seems low.
Well, what is it? 1 through 8?
Yeah.
And then they have little spin-offs too. And then, like you said, re-releases.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just seems weird.
Well, I don't know. So again,
and it was definitely popular back then.
So you got to remember too, though, certain games are very popular in the United States.
Yeah.
But not as popular in other countries.
It's true.
Like, I don't know how big it is in Japan.
You would think big.
Would you? Think about the games Japan loves. Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest. It's vastly different. I bet the UK loves this game. Like, that's another country I bet really loves
UK,
this.
Yeah.
Street Fighter series has 47 million units. That, to me, I thought was low.
Low, yeah.
But again, they do Street that Fighters fuckery.
Street Fighter is a specific type of style.
But it's also a console exclusive.
I wonder what Mortal Kombat is.
I'll tell you right now. But so I think they hurt themselves with Street Fighter, because again, it's only on the PlayStation 4. It's not on every console.
You can get the old ones on the Switch.
You can get the old ones. And before Smash Bros. Ultimate, Street Fighter 2, it was the highest selling fighter game of all time, which is even more wild.
They always say that one's the best.
Yes, exactly.
So, but we always play Third Strike, so we like Third Strike.
But I really think that game could take off if they open it up to other consoles.
I think so.
How many units?
I don't know. It's still a specific style of fight. Like, you got to be into that.
So, the last Mortal Kombat... The Mortal Kombat franchise now has surpassed 73 million units sold. So, almost double. But also, Street Fighter started as a arcade... Well, no, so didn't... So didn't.
Yeah, they almost started at the same level.
They both started as arcade cabinets.
Friggin' Mortal Kombat really didn't start getting serious until, like...
No, Mortal Kombat was huge. Remember, that was
I'm
like
saying,
the first
no, I'm
game with
serious
blood.
As in like a story mode, oh, like with real, like, you know, walking around and shit. That wasn't until like real scenes.
Yeah.
That wasn't until like Deadly Alliance or Armageddon or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was already like 5 games in.
Right, exactly.
And Street Fighter was like the same thing.
The other thing is Mortal Kombat kind of started with all platforms from the beginning and has kept that energy. You know, again, that's. You have more
I feel like I never really seen Mortal Kombat back in the day on Xbox.
Really?
It always seemed like it was more of a...
What kind of bug is that?
I don't know. Mutated.
Mega Man series, 37 million units. That's when was Mega Man 11 was like the last game that came out?
I'm surprised it's higher than Devil May Cry.
What does Devil May Cry have? 4 games?
Five.
Five, you're right.
But still, though... Popular, you would think that'd be more popular than Mega Man.
Well, think on the NES. Think about how many Mega Mans there are on the NES alone.
But are you telling me that Mega Man's more dope than Devil May Cry?
Maybe. Which one is in Smash Bros? Yeah.
They should have put him in Smash.
Oh, 100%. He would have been
savage.
Dope.
So.
He's actually a Mii costume.
Which
so
is,
it hurts even more.
Yeah, no. I mean, he would have been dope as hell. We already know that.
Again. Mega Man has like 6 games alone on the NES.
I know, but it's Mega Man.
And then there's the Mega Man X series.
It's Mega Man.
Zero's dope as hell.
I mean, some of the Mega Man games are dope, but it's like...
Hard as fuck, though.
Exactly.
Hard as fuck.
You can make Devil May Cry hard, but it has obviously better graphics.
Yeah.
You're real people.
Oh, I...
Like, obviously the game is just better.
Yeah, I was about to say, I 100%
there's no
think
doubt.
Devil May Cry is... Do you know what the other problem is? Mega Man is so much cheaper to make that you can sell it cheaper. So, because the last Mega Man game came out at $40.
It's only a $20 difference, I mean.
That is different to... Think about when you were in high school or in middle school and you only had a couple bucks, or you had to trade in your
$20,
games.
Dude, that would get us like 2 weeks at McDonald's.
That's what I'm saying. That was a
lot. Who's buying a game with that?
We still would.
We could go to McDonald's.
Well, we would go to, what was it, Hollywood Video or whatever?
I used to go to Hollywood Video.
But what was the thing attached to it? It wasn't GameStop.
Game Crazy.
And you trade in all your old games.
Yeah. You trade all your games to get one game. Mm-hmm. Then you'd have to rebuild the collection. And then when a new game came out, you had to go trade all those games. See, we used to live in the tough days.
The tough days. People don't get it.
Kids now, man, they just get whatever game they want. We didn't have no free-to-plays back then.
Nothing.
There was no such thing as a
Doritos Crash Course.
Besides that, and besides Castle Crashers.
Crash Crashers was not free-to-play.
It was like $19 or something like that. I feel like it used to be free-to-play.
No. It might have been like one of those free games you can download.
I think it was like $5.
They had sales.
I feel like you could download it, but you couldn't like start or something. There was something weird about it.
I don't remember. Dead Rising series. That's a series I forgot about. Do you even remember that?
I don't even care about that.
I don't think Capcom cares. But low-key, Capcom has like a lineup, like a good lineup of games.
I mean, if you add all these millions together, I mean, that's a good amount of games.
What they cover. Resident Evil is your shooter.
Yep. Fighting.
Your fighter, which is a highly
RPG
regarded,
style.
Yep. Monster Hunter is massive.
2D scrollers.
Yep. With Mega Man.
Devil May Cry, whatever you want to.
Action adventure.
Consider that. And yep. Then
hack
what
and
is
slash.
That? Horror.
Maybe. Is it really that scary though?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh, Dead Rising.
Yeah, Dead Rising.
Dead Rising is the last one I played. You're a photographer, and there is a zombie outbreak, and they contained it within a mall.
Of course.
So you break into the mall to take photos, and then obviously,
why not?
Yeah, and then you have to kind of beat your way out of the mall
with your camera.
You're taking photos, but you're also fighting.
You're
people.
A freaking photographer.
I remember I got like a ride on lawnmower because it was like a.
I feel like I remember that, actually, for some reason.
Yeah,
being trapped in the mall. Maybe I'm thinking of a Left 4 Dead map or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Capcom has, like, a lineup of games that, again, Open Street Fighter Up. That's their biggest problem, I think. Open Street Fighter Up.
I don't know if it's their biggest problem, but it'll bump that number up, probably.
I think it's a big problem if
almost double.
If Mortal Kombat's double you.
I think that's obvious, though.
You think so?
I feel like Mortal Kombat has way more popular characters with the movies and shit, like...
Yeah, and Street Fighter had an anime, and they had a really bad movie. I don't know if you ever seen action.
I heard the animes were okay for Street Fighter, but I just feel like Mortal Kombat has way more iconic characters.
Well, Scorpion. Yeah, I guess is Scorpion more iconic
like
than
Scorpion,
everyone on Street Fighter?
Scorpion, Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Raiden. They're all like such popular characters.
Yeah, and Ryu and Ken are cool.
Ryu, Ken, Chun Li are probably the top three you think of when you think of Street Fighter.
If you're into porn big time, Chun Li's huge.
But like, there's so many Mortal Kombat characters you can think of off the bat. Just
100%.
In the first three games.
Gully, or Guile, I guess. What the hell is
Guile? Guile, he's all right.
Blanca. I'm trying to Bison.
Yeah, Bison, Mr. Bison, and it's, Bison.
All right,
I mean, there's definitely some iconic characters in both. But like, I feel like you got to get into Street Fighter, where Mortal Kombat, I feel like, is more of an inviting.
Well, it's got the story mode to it now, too.
It's got the good story.
Even if you suck at fighting games, you can go through that at least.
Obviously, the first Mortal Kombat, they didn't really have a story, but
yeah,
the little arcade-style way of getting through the bad guys was...
I just feel
like
it
had better characters.
Enough. Yeah.
I don't know if the fighting gameplay was good back then, because it's honestly, if you go back and play like 1 through 3, those games are terrible.
For which one? Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
You're just trying to get the uppercut. Like, that's it.
Or the Liu Kang kick.
Or that's what I mean. If you're not doing a special ability, you're going for an uppercut because that does the most damage.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero, freeze uppercut. Freeze uppercut.
He was broken as hell.
All you do is freeze uppercut. Yeah. That's all you're going
to
do. You
remember Rose used to beat us with Sub-Zero?
Yeah. My grandma knew how to play.
This is an EA update. Bobby Kotick asks for minimum salary as Activision addresses toxic culture. This is by Daniel Partis on GameIndustry.biz. This is from the original story published on October 28th. Activision CEO... Bobby Kotick has asked the company's board of directors to reduce his salary and compensation to the lowest possible amount under California law until substantial changes are made to improve the firm's workplace culture. In a letter shared on Activision's investor relations page, Kotick said he asked for a pay cut down to $62,500. He also said that he won't be awarded any compensation or bonuses on top of this basic salary until the board has determined that we have achieved the transformational gender-related goals and other commitments. Kotick shared 5 new changes that the company is set to make to improve the company's workplace culture following the results of an investigation led by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. This includes the launch of a new company-wide zero-tolerance harassment policy with tougher rules and consistent monitoring. any employee found to have retaliated against anyone for making a complaint will be immediately terminated. The EEOC's review was a catalyst to sharpen Activision's focus on the ways it can become a company others emulate as a model for workplace excellence and others with an unwavering commitment to its values, Kotick said. It also committed to increasing the percentage of women and non-binary people working at the company by 50%, as well as investing $250 million into accelerating opportunities for diverse talent over the next 5 years. Over the next 10 years, Kotick said the company will invest an additional $250 million into initiatives that foster expand opportunities in gaming and technology for underrepresented communities. In April this year, Kotick voluntarily took a 50% pay cut, reducing his base salary to $875,000. So he was making like $1.7
million. Yeah.
And now he's making $62,000.
Very noble of him.
Well, and another thing is like, okay, great, he's making $62,000 a year. Just know, like, 2 months ago, I think it was, he got a $15 million bonus.
I'm sure either way, however long he's been working there, if he was making 1.7, it's base. I'm sure he's doing fine.
Just to be clear, hold on. Bobby Kotick net worth?
I'm sure he's doing fine.
Bobby Kotick's net worth is currently $600 million.
Exactly.
Right.
So him making $62,000 is irrelevant.
Because any money he's making after $600 million is irrelevant.
That's what I mean. This is just a little thing for the show. For a little show.
This is something because Call of Duty comes out soon.
Yeah, and they don't want any freaking backlash over this environment.
So this looks good. Again, there are big changes being made that are important.
They are, but it's only because he got busted.
100%.
It's only because, you know, shit hit the fan.
Exactly.
Because if it did it, this would have been continuing to slide and he would have been collecting his $875,000.
That was
or $1.7 million at that point. So
yes, 100%.
It looks good for the papers, but we see right through that shit.
You're right, because we are where you need to
go. But I mean, if this is what it takes to, you know, change the environment, then,
yep.
I mean, fuck it. At least we got that.
And so this was updated on October 29th. The ABK Workers Alliance, a group set by employees across Activision, Blizzard, and King to push for change, have responded to Kotick's letter, calling his statement and pledges within a huge win. So the workers there are happy with this. And that's the most important thing, yeah. Right? While today was a huge win for us, we remain vigilant and continue to push for other industry practices that need to change. We still need to stand firm by our demand that the investigation must be done by an unbiased third party, of which Wilmer Hale is not one, the group wrote in a Twitter statement. We continue to push for light to be shed on the other industry practices like crunch, which can be especially harmful to the health of game devs and especially the health of disabled and chronically ill game devs. So the other weird thing is, so Kotick's taking this pay cut until it's determined that
they, you know, the environment is back.
Who's determining that, though, right?
It has
if it's
to be a
Kotick,
third party, though.
It does it? He didn't say anything.
It should.
Because,
I mean, I don't know. We don't know what this guy's idea of,
right,
you know, a proper work environment is.
Especially because when you're at the top, you don't see everything that's going on.
You definitely don't see everything. And then when you do, it's probably not as important to you as some other things on your mind.
Yep.
So you just push it off.
Yeah.
That's why you need good people under you.
Yep.
That can handle those type of situations the right way.
100%.
And you know how people are, especially when you have a boss that busy.
Yep.
Those managers, they start to not give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll just do whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, we've gotten so busy at my job. It's like I talk to my managers maybe once a week.
They'll get away with murder.
Yeah.
Especially in a place like that and with gaming being so big and
yep.
The type of flexibility I'm sure some of those jobs have where you're not always doing real work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure some people get support.
Yeah.
Their managers don't give a shit. They're going to collect their $150,000. And
their idea is just keep making so we can keep, you know, producing. And especially when you're working on games that are never completely done. You know what I mean?
That seems
like games are coming out and never done anymore.
Oh, yeah. No,
there's new content to the game that you've been playing 2 years ago still coming out.
That just seems like a type of job environment that you would definitely see people just abusing power.
Right. And you can see the stress coming from those workers.
Yeah.
A mile away.
Especially because of all that. I mean, so judgmental.
Uh-huh.
As you hear all these, you hear all the shit talk.
Mm-hmm.
Being a developer must be...
Right, because your game comes out, you're excited, and then you go on,
you know,
first review,
it gets a state of play trailer, and everyone's like, this game fucking blows, and you're just like, oh my god, I only started it, you know, just started it.
We just sat there and trashed every
game. You know,
game
my manager didn't help us, he played golf for the week, and, you know, we're just kind of doing it ourselves, thanks.
It's, I honestly think, though, because again, Vanguard is supposed to release soon.
Yeah, this is just an ego... I mean, an image booster
right before the release of that, so other big media will cover that game again without having any kind of stipulation of, like...
The streamers won't fall for this.
I don't think they'll care.
They'll stay for Apex. Everyone's been on Apex.
I think they go wherever the money is.
Apex.
Yeah.
So, especially with the new update.
Last news story of the week, Spider-Man No Way Home, two more classic villains confirmed to return. This is by Logan Plant on IGN.com. Marvel has been teasing multiple villains for Spider-Man No Way Home since the first official trailer for the movie back in August. Now, thanks to the latest issue of Empire Magazine, we've learned that two more classic Spider-Man villains are joining the roster to face off against Tom Holland's Spider-Man. This is your friendly neighborhood spoiler warning. If you want to know nothing about Spider-Man No Way Home, turn back now. All right, I'm giving you a couple seconds because this is the last news story, so you can just end here. All right, so according to the magazine, Ryan Ethan's Lizard, Dr. Kurt Connors from The Amazing Spider-Man, as well as Thomas Hayden Church's Sandman, Flint Marko from Spider-Man 3, will be joining the growing list of villains in No Way Home. So we kind of had Lizard teased, or people thought Lizard, Sinister in the sense. Original.
It's obvious.
Is it six people now? Through the villains.
We got Electro.
Electro.
Sandman. Goblin.
Ock.
Doc Ock. Lizard. And then it's going to be Mysterio, because we know he's not dead.
So on
that
the...
That is the six.
So the original No Way Home trailer confirmed Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2, while also teasing Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin and Jamie Foxx's Electro, who's confirmed to return.
Yep.
There was also a magazine cover on Empire Magazine, which showed like Sandman's arm in the...
I seen some on the corner. Photos.
Now, there was a glass globe picture at the top as well, which is Mysterio's...
Yeah, we know he's back.
You think so?
Absolutely.
But there's been no rumors of Jake Gyllenhaal on set.
Who cares?
I mean, you're right. 100%,
maybe that's the whole point.
There's also been rumors that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are reprising their roles as Spider-Man as well, though Garfield has only denied those rumors, saying this is not something I'm aware of or involved in. If these rumors... I'm not going to even talk about the Venom 2 post-credit scene. That doesn't... that's too much.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. In addition to today's news, we get a fresh look at Doc Ock fighting Spider-Man, which caused Doc Ock to trend on Twitter. So the photo we got was Doc Ock basically wrapped around Tom Holland and holding him. I think that's when Tobey Maguire swoops in and saves him.
Yep.
I will be pissed if... I'm 95% sure the other two Spider-Men are in this movie.
I think we know this by now.
Yeah, it's...
I mean...
But if they're not, I have...
If not Garfield, we definitely know Maguire will be in it.
Maybe. The problem is someone just posted photos of Garfield out with his friends, and my God, does he look like shit. He looks so bad.
I mean, if they only have him in the mask...
Yeah, it's...
Fuck it. They'll CGI a six-pack on him.
They did that in the original. Do you remember they CGI'd the six-pack on him?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, so...
The only thing that will piss me off...
He's the only one I can see not being in it.
Tobey Maguire?
No, I think he'll be in it.
It's maybe not Andrew Garfield?
I just don't think Garfield.
I will be pissed if instead...
I mean, I think Garfield, but if someone were to not be in it, it would be Garfield.
Well, you know what could happen? Is imagine you go through scenes of other Spider-Man movie, but Tom Holland replaces their Spider-Man in that scene.
And almost like rewrites history?
Yes.
There could be a way, but there's no point now knowing that he's going to the Venomverse.
That's where maybe it is a point.
There's no point. No, there's not, because that Tobey Maguire universe is not the Venom one anyway. So
I hope.
Why do that?
This is just like a really I hope. I hope when Tom Holland's getting sucked through like the multiverse portal, it does one quick frame of him within the Miles Morales universe from the Spider-Verse.
They can't do all that.
Just like one quick though, you know, like he doesn't even talk. It's just like a, and you see like them next to each other for a second, if that.
I don't see it happen.
I don't either, but I would love.
I don't know how they would do it because we've only seen him animated.
Right, and it would be him in a weird animated world for literally a second.
I mean, they might throw it in just for like a little shits and giggles thing, but I don't see how they could try to make that into anything else.
That's all I want
it
to be.
Just be a little glimpse, like,
exactly.
Comical little thing.
Literally, that's literally all I want, though. Yeah, just to show that they're somehow connected. Especially, don't forget, we have the Morbius movie coming out.
I heard there's a trailer coming out tomorrow.
And
a new trailer. Like a legit one.
Vulture is supposed to be in that.
Yep.
So it's already getting
supposedly
weirder.
In Tobey Maguire's universe.
It is.
You see the picture
exactly.
of his suit on the wall.
Now, again, if they're merging Tobey Maguire's universe with Tom Holland, That's how you get him.
It's I think they're merging them all. 100%. I don't think it's one with the other, and I don't think Tom Holland's going to rewrite that one.
Right.
I think they're trying to find a way to merge everything together.
Right, because at this point, Sony needs to find a way to get Spider-Man and Venom together.
And I definitely guarantee you we will see another Iron Man.
Hot take.
Played by someone else.
Hot take right now. When Spider-Man and Venom meet each other, it's going to be the highest grossing superhero
film. If they give us
film.
A Spider-Man and Venom versus Carnage movie...
We're not going to get that.
That's a common fight in the comics and, right, and in the show. If they gave us that,
if you
that
saw,
would be the highest
if
grossing...
If you saw Let There Be Carnage, you would know it. It can't happen.
But if it did, it would be the craziest movie of all time.
What if they set up now a Sinister Six with Venom in the Sinister Six?
He's not in the Sinister Six.
Right, but they've rewritten...
No, stop. No, we don't need that. We need Venom and Spidey versus Carnage.
What if it's Venom and Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six?
What if they fight the anti-Venom?
I'm down for anything as long as Spider-Man and Venom finally meet.
I'm trying to think of like other people that they tag team against. Carnage is always a big
Hunter.
Fucking big dude.
And we have a Kraven the Hunter film coming out with Aaron Taylor-Joy.
Johnson
as...
Yep, I did see that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other people they fought like together, though, like...
They've kind of fought a lot of people together.
Spider-Man
and they've also
Kingpin
fought each other.
A lot,
yeah.
Too,
maybe we find it's problem is I think it, Marvel owns Daredevil, so you're not going to see Daredevil. Because again,
I would have loved to see them bring Charlie Cox into that.
If they bring Charlie Cox,
I hope they.
He's
I hope
going
those
to the
rumors
universe.
Are still sure that he's in this movie.
I don't think he would be in this because again,
said he was. They
I
said
think,
he was on set.
But Spider-Man's leaving the
I know,
Marvel
but still,
universe.
Like, storm in for a minute,
maybe.
Even if he's just in lawyer form, they don't even have to throw the suit on him. Just
right.
like introduce
just
Matt Murdock.
Him. Yes.
Like that would be something. If they did it, Charlie, I think Charlie Cox is a very good pick.
Oh yeah.
And he trained real hard
better
for that
than
role.
Ben Affleck?
Come on. He trained hard for that role. And I thought he was damn good at it.
No, I did like him a lot.
That series was a good series.
It you know what? Marvel
it was definitely
had a
my
lot
favorite
of good,
out
yes.
of the, those TV
But they
shows.
Were all pretty decent. Other than I didn't like the...
I didn't really get into Iron Fist.
That's the one I didn't like.
It was whatever. But
yep.
I didn't watch Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones is pretty good.
I heard it was good. I liked Luke Cage.
Yep.
The second season was a little...
I actually didn't see the Punisher series.
I haven't seen that, but I seen him in Daredevil,
yep.
and that's when he got popular, because he's nuts in that
season. Oh, yeah.
And... the other one. What was the other one?
Luke Cage?
No, isn't there one more?
Luke Cage.
No, not that one.
What are you talking about?
Isn't there another show?
Luke Cage.
Not Luke Cage.
Oh, the Defenders?
I think I started watching a couple episodes of that. I feel like there was one more.
I don't know. I don't remember any of them. Another one. But, all right, that does it for this week's episode of the After Hour Nerd podcast. You can find me on Twitter @HN_gags.
Find me on Apex tomorrow, baby. New season, Papa Dill 22.